Strangers and Aliens, Episode 53. Will this Justice League movie finally get made?
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend, Plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God?
The very first thing that God did,
so wise you are,
was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Strangers and Aliens. I'm Dr. Jace O'Neill, and I am here with two of the strangest and most alien people I know. Ben Avery.
Hello. I'm Ben.
And Steve McDonald.
That would be me.
That would be you.
All right. Ooh, spoon.
Well, today we have an awesome topic. I mean, a very, very interesting topic. It's lighting up the internet all over the place. It's huge, huge, huge superhero news. Have you guys heard about this, Ben?
Yes, I posted about it on Facebook today.
Really? So what is the big superhero news?
This is huge. I can't believe this is actually happening. In the superhero world, I have one dream, and it's coming true.
Wonderful.
The Captain Canuck animated web series.
Yeah.
They are bringing Captain Canuck off the comic book page and onto the screen.
That's awesome. I loved Alpha Flight
back
in the 80s.
Okay, all right, stop.
No.
Stop.
Oh, Steve, I can't believe you.
What? What happened? What?
You are so out of it, man.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
Out. Pause. For the sake of our listeners and for my own sanity, would you please all please be quiet? That is not the news I'm talking about.
But it is news.
It is not awesome news. It is.
It's quite awesome.
It's the news that you two and three other people on the whole planet care about.
Oh, I don't know if Steve cares about.
Oh, no. If they're doing Alpha Flight like they did back then.
Hey, Steve, this is pre-Alpha Flight, man. This is – he is like the – not the first Canadian superhero, but the premier.
Wolverine.
We have spent 3 minutes on something and wasted 3 minutes of my life I'll never get back. The real news for our listeners that they're excited about, except for Ben, is the fact – the rumor – that the Justice League or the DC Universe is going to be helmed by none other than Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, be careful calling it a fact, because it still hasn't been.
It's a rumor. It's a rumor. I'll clarify. And I know that the biggest fan of this news is Steve McDonald, because he's a huge fan of the Dark Knight franchise.
Yeah.
But I figure.
So he's going to apply his illogic to the rest of the DC universe, is what you're saying?
You know, before we start, Steve, I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you like any of his other movies?
Insomnia
and
Inception.
Inception.
What was his first one? It was the
Memento.
Memento.
Memento. Memento really captured my imagination when I saw it the first time. I actually have it on DVD.
The Prestige.
I'm not sure if I saw The Prestige. I saw Inception, and it was good, but I thought it missed a whole lot of opportunities. And it was one of those movies where it had an indefinite ending. So those movies are sort of like, come on, pick an ending, tell us the whole story, tell us what you think it is.
I loved it.
I figured.
Well, I think we're going to have some interesting different viewpoints on this episode. And that's what excites me about it.
On Strangers and Aliens, we're having different viewpoints?
I think, no, not just different, but interesting different.
What I love about this topic is it brings a fresh take on one of our ongoing gags, and that is Steve and the Dark Knight franchise. Any way I can get that in, and then this new rumor just sparked new life into it. So that's why I suggested this topic, hoping to be able to get it, just another little dig at Steve about the amazing Dark Knight franchise.
You know, I really didn't mind the first Dark Knight.
Batman Begins?
Potential.
Yeah. You mean Batman Begins?
Batman Begins, yeah. Thought it had potential, but, you know, crash and burn from there.
Okay, right. So let's see how much we can not talk about the Dark Knight while talking about the Dark Knight in this episode.
Yeah. Yes. So there's been different rumors that's been going on. Of course, the one rumor is that that Nolan is going to be helming a Justice League movie and potentially the DC Universe. And there's I know part of the rumor I saw, I don't know what else you guys have seen, was that the director of Man of Steel, what's his name?
Zack Snyder.
Yes, Zack Snyder was going to be involved, and that Goyer it was going to be overseeing the scripts. That was the last rumor I saw. Have you guys seen any other versions or variations?
That's pretty much what I've seen too. I don't think they've really leaked anything else or anyone's like come up with anything else other than the Goyer thing is the one thing that I'm not seeing in most of the places where they've talked about the rumor, and he wasn't mentioned in the original rumor.
Okay.
From Latino Review.
All right. Well, that's what I've heard, is that Goyer was going to help oversee scripts, and I also heard that it's potential that it's not a Justice League movie, but potentially a team-up movie of Superman and Batman first.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I'm not sure how much of this is a rumor that's coming from a source and how much of it is people adding to the rumor.
Correct,
But regardless, it's an interesting rumor. And I haven't seen anyone deny the rumor either. That's the other thing.
To me, it makes a lot of sense, because at this point, if I think a lot of this has been brought on because of the great word of mouth and feedback that people have gotten from the screenings of Man of Steel. So basically, you're coming off The Dark Knight Rises, which has been the most successful Batman franchise up to this point, financially and critically, if you combine them both. And all of a sudden, if you've got a solid Superman movie, then all of a sudden, why wouldn't you launch from there? And because Nolan did help produce the Superman film, so it makes perfect sense. And maybe working on the Superman movie changed Nolan's mind, or maybe it's the huge amount of moolah that Nolan will make if he does this.
Well, here's the other thing that is happening, is that the current drafts of the Justice League movie from before this news came out, I've just heard nothing good about it. And people, like, they basically, I guess, dumped it again. Like, there's been numerous times where they've tried to take on the Justice League movie, and they just, apparently, it's just not good enough to make money, which is what this all comes down to, is moolah, like you said.
Yeah. So, well, that's the thing, is that if you look at a Marvel movie compared to what the recent DC movies have been, for most part, there's a different feel, except for instance, you know, obviously Green Lantern had a different feel than The Dark Knight and Man of Steel looks to have. In fact, Marvel or Green Lantern seemed to try to be going for that Marvel feel to it. It looks like
I would disagree.
I'm not saying that it does. I'm saying that I think that they were trying to make Green Lantern like an Iron Man movie, but didn't do a good job of it.
I think they were trying to go a little bit grittier with the language and stuff like that. You know, I think they were trying to do something a little bit more, you know, PG-13 plus, you know, more closing in on almost like a soft R rating.
I felt like they were trying to get Iron Man but just missed the mark.
Oh yeah,
it was like, let's make this movie just like Iron Man, except we don't really know what made Iron Man work, and we don't know what Green Lantern works. So it just missed that one is a huge wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
I felt.
See, I think maybe on the script language part, maybe. I don't know how much of that was in the script and how much of it was the actors improvising, and that's the only takes they had to keep the language in. I don't know. But from a film perspective, as far as how they shot it, the coloring, it's very Iron Man-esque as far as the look of it, other than the fact that the colors, the color schemes are different, red versus green, of course. But, yeah, I mean, so to me, it makes sense. If DC is going to make a stand, why not make a stand on the Nolan universe? Because otherwise, they're going to roll over, play dead, because Marvel's kicking their butt.
Well, yeah, I mean, where else are they going to make the stand anyway? So, Dr. Jace, what was your initial reaction then when you heard this news? I got a feeling I know where you're going to go with this, but
this is my dream scenario. I mean, if I'm processing potential people to helm DC, I can't. There are other people that would be on my list, but there's no one that would be better than Nolan in my mind. I do have some questions about how it would work. Especially in a Nolan type film. However, even if it's just a Superman Batman team up, that alone would be cool. I'm hoping though that it would be leading up towards something bigger.
What about Joss Whedon?
Well, that gets into our third question. I mean, Whedon, I would love Whedon. Whedon, I would trust. There's a few film people I would trust handling my favorite franchises. Whedon would be one of the people I would trust with this same franchise. It's just he can't do it because he's doing Avengers. So,
well, if Abrams can do Star Trek and Star Wars at the same time, why can't you do?
That's a point.
Well, it's a different, slightly different scenario because with Star Trek, it's usually one film at a time, and Star Wars, it's. You know, you can do it one at a time. Whereas Avengers, you're literally taking five or six movies and shaping a whole kind of phase, which is what they're calling it, which is far more involved. There's far more involved than just one movie at a time.
Although one big difference is they have a committee.
Yes,
that's doing that. And Whedon, yes, he's directing the big cornerstone movies of the Avengers, but he's not necessarily the guy, you know, sitting down and working with the director of Iron Man 3. You know, the committee was working with both of them this is what you have to do and this is what you have to do.
Right. In phase two, though, he will be because they in phase two, from my understanding, is that he is the guy. There are other people. There's consultants and different things, but they're trying to have a full kind of vision, so to speak, for this next phase. So Whedon, pretty much his life is Avengers. If he's able to squirt out any other movie over the next 3 years other than Avengers, I will stand up and applaud him.
He did. It's coming out soon. Much Ado About Nothing. He directed a small, I think I heard it was like over a weekend. He just brought in his good buddies, you know.
That's what I love about Whedon is that he'll do something like that because it's the only amount of time he has to fit in.
Seriously, it was a black and white. It looks really stylistic. It looks really interesting. And there's a trailer out for it right now. I don't know when it's supposed to be released or anything like that, but
so.
It's just. The man's a nut.
This is what I'll say right now. I love Joss Whedon's work. I will say this. Whedon, I hope you get enough clout so you can do a Firefly Serenity trilogy. I want, even if you can't get everybody from the original trilogy or the original series, I want more in that universe because that Western space universe is so I went back and watched all the Firefly episodes. When my wife's not around, she won't let me watch X-Files without her. That's how much she likes it, which I'm so thrilled. A tear comes in my eye. But So I watch shows that I know she won't care if I watch them again because she's already seen them. So I watched them all the way straight nice. Through, and I'm like, so I'm hoping Whedon hits all home runs, and that when it comes out of it, he can pick every movie he wants, and one of them is the Firefly movie. I need more stuff in that universe.
Have you read the comic books and stuff?
No, I've tried to stay away from it, hoping that they make movies about it so I don't ruin the story.
But Joss Whedon has actually done some of the stuff in the comic books.
Yeah, it's meant to be like canon as far as the...
No, I understand, but I love comic books, but I would prefer to wait until the movie because I don't like to ruin the... I lose the cathartic storytelling if I already know what's going on.
Yeah. I'll say you're not missing much by reading the comics. If you do read them, you'll enjoy them, but you're not like missing out by not reading them.
Well, what about you guys? Ben, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I want to hear Steve's first.
It was just sort of like, okay. You know,
that's a lot more positive than I expected.
What I really wonder is, you know, why don't they, I mean, maybe they are doing this, I don't know, but why don't they just radically do something outside of the Avengers model? Because everyone is either saying one thing, do the thing like the Avengers, where you make all the little movies and then you make the big movie, or do it in reverse. You make the big movie and that splinters off into the little movies. And I'm like, there's got to be more than those two things. There's got to be ways that you can do your own thing. You know, there's the team up stuff where you do the, you know, Brave and the Bold, and then you could do, you know, other little stuff. You could do Green Lantern and Green Arrow together and stuff like that, and then bring them up. I mean, there's so many different, you know, permutations of it, but people are just talking about just those two things. I haven't heard anything else. So I'd like to, you know, start a conversation more on what are other ways that this whole thing could get done that wouldn't rely on, you know, either the Avengers model or the inverse of the Avengers model.
See, the problem is Hollywood. I mean, there's the saying, Hollywood has never seen an idea they weren't willing to copy if it made money.
It's a copycat,
you know.
There's no doubt. But I will say this, I think the way that DC can do that is if they do the team up first. However, I will say, I don't think DC should be prideful enough to where they just want to do their own thing, because here's the thing. The Avengers model worked. And I'll put it this way. I think that they may have redefined franchises, because I think I've mentioned this before. Lucas redefined the blockbuster and franchises when he did a trilogy with Star Wars. And then that's been the definition of, you know, franchises. You want to get the trilogy. Well, now Avengers have showed something different, and I think it might be for the big franchises like maybe Star Wars and Star Trek. This might be a direction that we see from here on out, and I'm actually a fan of it.
It's interesting. I mean, you bring up Star Wars, and you've got it did redefine what a franchise was, because especially with Empire Strikes Back, but even with Star Wars itself, when that was done, they hadn't won. They had one victory at the end of the first Star Wars movie. And at the end of The Empire Strikes Back, they had lost.
Yeah.
You know, and it was definitely meant to be, you know, come back in a couple years. And someone on Facebook or somewhere mentioned about how Star Wars, we were talking about how we didn't believe that Darth Vader really was Luke's father or something like that. But he mentioned how Star Wars, you weren't expecting it to do what it did because people weren't taking sequels seriously. A sequel is meant to be just a rehash of the first movie and not necessarily a part of a bigger, longer story. And so definitely Star Wars changed that. And yeah, look at Avengers and how it worked, though. It was build up. It was all about build up. Let's introduce this character in this movie, this character in this movie. By the time we're going to do the big movie using everybody, all these characters, you know them. You know them well. Even if you haven't seen the movie, you saw the commercial with that character in it 2 years ago.
And every time I saw an Avengers movie, I got more excited about the Avengers, the real Avengers movie. I was like, ooh, this was good. If this was that good, I can't imagine what the Avengers movie is going to be like. And so for me, each one of the movies was kind of a buildup.
That reminds me of the other big superhero news is, did you see the Iron Man 3 trailer?
Yes, it did.
Does that not look amazing?
I'll be honest. I was not, when they talk about Iron Man 3, I'm like, so what? Of all the Avenger movies that are coming out after, in Phase 2, Iron Man 3 was my least favorite, or at least when I was looking at it. But then I've seen two trailers now, the one you sent me and one I saw beforehand, and I'm thinking, oh, this one looks like it has some depth to it, which was my biggest complaint for the first two, is there didn't seem to be a very big emotional anything. It was just like a rock concert. This one?
That's the word, emotional.
There's stuff to it. I'm actually very, very excited to see Iron Man 3 now.
Yeah, that trailer, if they deliver on what that trailer promises, it's going to be a great movie. They promise emotion. They promise action. They promise more than just attitude.
Well, not just that. They actually promise something that's very hard to do with an established character, and that is to further a character arc.
It totally looks like that.
Yeah.
And they kind of did it in a, you know, it's interesting because Avengers, you can see that character arc moving from Iron Man 1 to Iron Man 2 to Avengers and to that trailer then.
Yeah.
Okay, so my initial reaction to this news was, at first I was like, oh, that could be cool. And then I just thought, I think that's a terrible idea. I think this is a terrible idea. And I am a fan of Christopher Nolan. I like every movie he's done that I've seen. I liked. The only one that I'm kind of iffy on is Insomnia. And this is kind of meta, but I was watching that movie way too late at night. And I kept falling asleep during the movie.
Ben, I would agree with you. I'm not a huge fan of Insomnia, but...
But that also... That wasn't original with him, though. That was a remake of another movie. And so all his other movies are original for him, except for, obviously, Batman. So... the part... You know, the thing we mentioned about David Goyer, that does not excite me. I look at David Goyer away from Christopher Nolan... And I don't like what he's done for a lot of his screen credits.
Oh, do tell us. What is it that you don't like about him?
Blade. Blade 2.
Blade was actually kind of cool.
Ghost Rider. Blade. Now, I never saw Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, but...
Come on. Hey. Ben, nobody can do Ghost Rider well when Nicolas Cage is Ghost Rider.
I disagree with that. I think that if Nicolas Cage is going to be Ghost Rider, then you play and write to Nicolas Cage. And what makes what makes Ghost Rider work is Nicolas Cage. That's the only thing.
So you're telling me, Ben, you're telling me that you could see Nicolas Cage playing Superman?
No.
That would be horrible.
No, but I can see him playing Ghost Rider.
No.
He's just the right amount of kind of crazy cool. So he also wrote Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. with David Hasselhoff. he did, I guess he was one of the writers on Dark City, which I really like that movie.
I think the original, I haven't seen it in years, so I probably would have a different view, but I enjoyed the Blade series. When I was younger, I enjoyed the Blade 1 and 2, but I'd probably have different views on that now. I was young and single at the time. I thought it was pretty cool.
I wasn't a big fan of. Blade 2 I liked, but I think it was more Guillermo del Toro than anything else. And Blade Trinity is just terrible, in my opinion.
See, the truth is that for a writer, half the battle is getting a good director. And if you've got Nolan who likes to work with them, then there has to be something that they see in him in the way he does things.
I just want to know what it is. What is that?
What was that?
Sorry. That was my mom just called. My daughter's birthday, first year birthday, is this weekend. So she's trying to make plans to come up here. And my phone has this weird quirk that even when I turn it down, it still rings sometimes, and I don't know what to do about it.
I don't know. That's an interesting ringtone, though.
Oh, I was once lost, but now I'm found. That's her ringtone.
Okay. Is it personalized for her?
Yeah.
Cool. My dad has it personalized so that when I call him, it's the Star Wars theme.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome. You know what was really cool? My, like, the person I go to, my pastor, his ringtone is 007. On his own phone. His daughter set it up for him. It's great. So you think it's a bad idea. Ben, we cannot be friends anymore.
Well, and we could talk about why I think it's a bad idea. There's parts about it that it has to be what they do. I mean, they have to do this because I don't think Justice League can work unless they tie it in to Christopher Nolan and to Christian Bale. I really think that's if they're going to make money and really make it work, that's the only place they can go.
See, that's
to guarantee actually, something.
That's a different version of the rumor, because some people are saying that it's Nolan and they're trying to get Bale through Nolan, and others are saying that even if Nolan's on board, Bale's not on board. So just because Nolan's on board does not mean Nolan is.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, because it's a rumor, we don't know exactly what is even happening. But right. I think Christopher Nolan alone, great. I'm a fan of Christopher Nolan. But Christopher Nolan bringing in the baggage of The Dark Knight and Christian Bale, that's where I find this to be it's not a very good idea.
Would you be okay with Gordon Levitt or whatever his name is? I always get his name wrong.
Is it Joseph Gordon Levitt?
Yeah. I love the guy, but his name's always confusing me.
Well, you got two first names.
I've liked him since Angels in the Outfield and Third Rock from the Sun, but I can always never get his name right.
Yeah. Here's my thing about using Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I don't mind. If they do that, it works better than it would with Christian Bale. But it just – you've got this trilogy, and it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I think it needs to stay that way. That universe, the Dark Knight universe, is a crime drama universe, and that's the way it works best to me. And so you bring then Man of Steel into that, you bring Green Lantern into that, and it cheapens what they've already created.
See, to me, I see it as the next phase of Batman, because he's kind of, that is his Dark Knight trilogy. However, him being drawn into something bigger and being a part of a team seems to me that it could take that Batman to a totally different level. And that, I think, is exciting, because I would love to see a Justice League in the same universe as that Dark Knight franchise was.
But do you think that works, though? Because, I mean, they worked so hard to make make Batman work as a realistic-ish character. And they worked so hard to make Joker work as, you know, it's that kind of magic realism where, it's not even magic realism, it's just that fantastic realism where you could see a guy, you know, getting half his face burned off and you can see his teeth when he's talking and he's half scarred and half fine. You could see a guy using technology to turn himself into Batman. And you could see a guy going crazy and having scars on his mouth and a smile, deciding to paint it like a clown. You could see these kind of things happening, not in our real world, but you're more accepting of that than of Green Lantern.
Okay, but that brings us up to our next topic. Is that you're assuming that Green Lantern is in the movie. And the issue is that Green Lantern may have too much baggage to be in the movie. So because of the last bad movie, plus the issues, if Nolan, for instance, if they're really offering Nolan this money, and Nolan goes, okay, but I'm going to do it my way, and they say, that's fine. Nolan, because of his style and the things he likes to do, might say, by the way, Green Lantern's not on the list of my folks.
Okay, well, let's leave Green Lantern out of this and just talk about Superman.
Well, I think It's hard for me to say until I see Man of Steel, because I might be able to more easily see it, because the preview of Man of Steel looks very, very interesting, and it looks like it could be in the same universe, whereas, you know, Christopher Reeve's version might not.
Yeah, and I will say, as a kid, I always wanted to see Michael Keaton and Christopher Reeve team up.
Oh yeah.
In a World's Finest movie. I always thought that would be the best thing to ever happen.
That'd be cool.
Ever. That's just the way I felt.
Which may be the direction they go, because then if you have Superman and Batman and that does well, then you can build up to another partner. But, you know, you do have more fantastical characters, because then you have, you know, Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and they're, you know, basically godlike, like Superman to various degrees. But you have other interesting characters, like I think Martian Manhunter could be very interesting. Maybe the shapeshifter dynamics. I think Green Arrow would be interesting, or Cyborg. Cyborg would definitely fit into Nolan's world.
Cyborg and Green Arrow would both fit into the Dark Knight universe that Nolan's created. Definitely. Which would you rather see, guys? A World's Finest or a Justice League?
Both.
Okay.
You mean first?
Yeah, first.
I think I'd rather see a World's Finest.
If I knew that I was promised a Justice League movie, I would say Superman and Batman, because that could lay the foundation, like a transition film, to transition the Dark Knight into this other universe. And that might be what they're thinking, that Superman and Batman teamed up might be that transition pivot movie, so to speak. So if I knew I could get a Justice League movie after it, I would say Superman and Batman.
Because I could see that working. You have Batman and Superman solo, and then they team up in a movie, and then you add a couple more characters into it and build up that way, yeah, instead of maybe following the Avengers mold. Steve, would that be different enough for you, or is it still following what Avengers did?
I think it's one of the differences. It's one of the, you know, the little switches that they could do. Yeah, that's good.
I actually think it would be interesting not to team them up, but to have them go against each other. Like, for instance, Batman sees Superman as a threat. I would actually like to see that cat and mouse a little bit. Maybe not the entire movie, but that would be an aspect of the film I think would be interesting.
Yeah, because, well, that's something that makes Justice League different than the Avengers. And Justice League is a group of gods. I mean, they are Olympians. And Batman may not be a superhero with the strength of a god or the speed or whatever, but he's got the tech and the smarts to be able to hold himself against Superman. And I think that that'd be cool to do a World's Finest type of movie. And yeah, exactly like you said.
Not just that, but Batman will do things that Superman wouldn't.
Right. Yeah. And Batman, I mean, if Batman's going after Superman, he's doing it because he believes Superman is a threat, but he's going to go after Superman in a way that a superhero wouldn't.
Right.
And so Superman, I mean, they say his weakness is kryptonite, but really Superman's weakness is his honor, his code of honor.
Yeah.
And magic.
And magic and kryptonite. And the red sun.
So yeah. All Batman needs to do is pull out his card tricks, and then he's got Superman where he wants him.
Yeah. And now I'm going to make you disappear like I made this dove disappear. It's called the Prestige.
What would really be cool is if they sort of took it both ways. They took it back to the 1940s, 1950s when you had the team up, and it's like, oh, cool, another superhero. I can trust him immediately. But the thing is, that's the surface. You know, they're like, I'm going to trust you because at this point I sort of have to trust you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you think that I'm trusting you because you just get carte blanche because you're another superhero. But you see the little psychological aspect in there where Superman sees Batman as a threat. Batman sees Superman as a threat. and how do they resolve both of those? And then, you know, in the end, of course, they finally team up and, you know, big hugs at the end, stuff like that.
Well, that's something that shows up a lot of times in the comics, is they have a friendship.
Yeah.
But it's always tempered by the fact that Batman, in the back of his mind, is thinking, if Superman ever goes off the rails, I'm the one who has to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I just watched part two of the animated Dark Knight Returns, where they have that knockdown dragout fight. It's bloody. It's a bloody, bloody movie. But just the whole point is, you know, who would win, Batman or Superman?
Yeah. Well, have you read Justice?
I have not finished Justice. No, there's a three graphic novel series, right? 12 issues.
I don't know how many. It's 12 issues. I think it's three. It's three. Four-issue graphic novels, yeah.
That was written by Jim Kruger?
Jim Kruger, yeah.
We should try and get him on the podcast.
I know, why don't we?
Let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
If the battle of Superman and Batman is part of the movie, and yet, you know, a lot of times it's good that they actually have to unite to beat a bigger enemy, so to speak, who would be a better villain in your mind in a Superman-Batman? Would you see Lex Luthor? Or would you see the Joker or some other villain?
Well, I mean, technically, Joker's not dead in that universe. I honestly, if you're going to have Superman and Batman team up and go against one villain, Lex Luthor is the one. Because he's a perfect counter to both of them. He's the anti-Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And he's also the anti-Superman. But if... if you're going to bring in two villains, I don't know. I don't know what of Batman's rogues gallery actually has something to add to the conflict. Because they're all so centered on Batman. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It's a good question. That's why I asked it.
Okay, so... let's see. Where were we? We kind of went off track, but...
What characters in the Justice League... If they had a Justice League, which characters are a must for you to be in a Justice League movie, and who could you do without?
You know, what's interesting about this is a lot of my concerns here, they made work in the Avengers, if you think about it. I mean, Iron Man is that kind of gritty, realistic sci-fi. But he's paired up with Thor, who's Lord of the Rings Superman. And you pair them up with Captain America, who is, you know, the super soldier. And they made it work. So for Justice League, yeah. Okay, bring in science fiction alien Superman. Leave Green Lantern out of it.
Why can't they do Green Lantern like as if he's just like that cosmic superhero?
Because the movie stunk, and you need distance.
Yeah, but the only way you could do it is if you either recast and did a different perspective, or maybe they think they have something in Green Lantern and they just want to redo it so the second version is actually better. But I think that the Green Lantern has so much baggage that would be hard to do, so they might want to go in the Jon Stewart direction, which would give it a complete different reboot. Like maybe if Will Smith would come on and say, I'll play Jon Stewart, that gives you a big name and he'd be awesome as Green Lantern.
Oh, I don't know.
But see, that's what I would want them to do with Batman too, is bring in a different guy. And so you can kind of get a little distance from the previous Batman movies. And if you bring in Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you get the distance, but he's also connected.
Yeah. So you have the continuity, but you also have that distance.
I have a hard time thinking that they're going to get Bale, because if they do a Justice League movie, half the time Batman's going to be covered anyway, so he won't get enough face time.
Well, you know, Superman already has X-ray vision, so when he's around Superman, he can take his mask off, and it's not going to matter. Although he's Batman, so he'd line it with lead.
So who's your characters that have to be in it?
Superman has to be in it. Batman has to be in it. Wonder Woman has to be in it, which is going to be difficult because they have not had any new Wonder Woman that's worked. Aquaman, I don't think they could bring him in. Not easily. Flash, you'd want in there. I think you'd want a core five. So you'd have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash. Who?
Hawk Girl.
Yeah, maybe Hawk Girl.
Gotta have Hawk Girl.
I think my guess is that I'd have to, I think that they would either bring in Cyborg or it's hard for me. I can't imagine a Justice League without Martian Manhunter because there's so much you can do with that type of character that he could look like a million different things. And, you know, I love his character so much. So
you know what, though? For me, he's a solo character because I didn't really watch Justice League, the cartoon that he was a part of. He wasn't in Super Friends. So to me, I don't have any connection to him. I don't know.
I feel sad for you.
No, he's a cool character. I have some solo comic books where it was just him, and I love it. But when he shows up as part of the group, I'm just like, who's this guy?
Well, that's why
What's he doing here?
That's why I think he needs to be in it, because I think he has some of the most potential to be a standalone character afterwards.
Yeah, I do agree about Cyborg. They use Cyborg in the newest reboot of the comic book basically as the tie that binds. He's the character that you kind of gravitate to because, first of all, he's the only character whose origin gets told within the book. Yeah. But then he's the guy who everyone just kind of looks to him as the nexus of communication. He's the one giving them the information they need. He's the one controlling the boom tubes that transport them from place to place. And they really use him nicely in there. So
yeah, I could see Cyborg being really integral to what they do.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that is you could jump that off to a Teen Titans movie.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Depends on who they got to play Cyborg. If
maybe Will Smith.
Yeah, hey.
Well, you know, play him a little bit older and then he can be a leader of the Teen Titans, you know, where he's the one who's kind of the head of the team. He's the Professor X of Teen Titans.
He'll probably have to be called Titans then if he's older. It can't be Teen.
Well, his team would be teens. He'd be like their teacher, their mentor.
I would say if I have to pick five, if that's what we're saying is, because it's going to be hard to develop all these other characters.
Yeah, yeah.
In the first Justice League movie, I don't see how you do it without Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. And then for me, I would say Green Lantern. He's one of my favorite characters, but he's so much baggage. I'd have to drop him, and I'll probably go with Cyborg and Martian Manhunter would be mine.
So do we connect that with the Dark Knight?
Well, Steve, did you give us your five?
No.
Oh.
I don't think I can narrow it down to five. I like Martian Manhunter. You know, first of all, you have to have Wonder Woman, you have to have Superman, you have to have Batman.
You only have one more.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd have Martian Manhunter as one of my extra two. I think it would be interesting if you had that core, but then you had, like, in part of the movie, you didn't have, like, one coming together of everybody. You could show, you know, here's the core team with, you know, Flash and Martian Manhunter, and then, like, later on in the movie, they're not available, or they're taken out of the picture for some reason. And then you could have, you know, Hawkman and Green Arrow, and then, you know, later on in the end of the movie, you could have, you know, a couple other people, sort of to show a larger universe that they could sort of pick and choose from. You know, not like the Avengers, where you had the loose affiliations and then they sort of come together in the middle, and then by the end of the movie they're you know, a hardcore team. This would be, they're assumed to be a team, but a team that, you know, it not everybody is playing at the same time for whatever reasons. So that's probably how I would go with it. I don't think I could narrow it down to five. Hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. That shocking that I couldn't narrow it down to five? Did that stun you?
Is there anybody that you would say should not be in the film? I think we're all saying Green Lantern just because of the baggage of the bad movie, although I would love for him to be in it.
If you're going to go baggage, then of course, yeah, he can't be in it. I'd love to have him in it. Martian Manhunter, I'd love to have in it. Flash,
Who would you not want
in it? Yeah, I know. I'm just talking it out. I think Hawkeye in the Avengers is so underpowered, but at the same time, they're trying to make him. I mean, he's like shooting behind his back without looking and hitting flying things and stuff like that. I think it's you're trying to do too much with the character that there's not that much of. In a comic book, yeah, it's fantastic. He can do all different kinds of things with his arrows, trick shots and everything. In the movie, it doesn't work that well. So I think if you took Green Arrow and put him into the movie, I think there'd be trouble because, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to do some Hawkeye stuff, and then people are going to say, well, he's just a rip-off Hawkeye. So I don't think, and his character is too rich to try to...
It's too similar to Bruce Wayne in my mind.
Yeah, and that too.
Yeah, it's a rip-off of Batman and Hawkeye at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not, but the movie going public would see that.
Yeah.
It wasn't Green Arrow first?
Yeah, but the movie going public, they're going and saying, oh, that's just like the guy in the Avengers. Yeah.
Right.
I think the Hawkman and Hawkgirl, there's so much of a history between the two that to only have one in the movie would sort of be betraying the duality of those characters. So I would say...
Although the Hawkgirl was not in Super Friends either, so according to Ben's logic, she doesn't exist and only Hawkgirl exists.
I think Apache Chief would be one of my big choices.
Of not being in it?
No, definitely in it. Have to have Apache Chief. And Jaina. Oh,
I want the Wonder Twins back. I want...
Jaina.
Oh, man.
And Gleep. Whatever his name. Was it Gleep?
It was Gleek, yep. Gleek.
I never understood... Wonder Twins power activate, and he always turned into a pail of water. Like, what else?
Water.
Well, that's how they carried him. You know, it was convenient.
I like the one when there was a huge ice monster or something in the middle of the water, and so of course he says shape of the ice monster, and then he turns into one, and then they fight, and for some reason his 2 seconds as being the ice monster is enough to get the upper hand over this ice monster who's existed for I don't know how long at that point.
See, he should have been more specific. He just said, shape of a slightly stronger and faster ice monster.
I always wanted Jaina to say, you know, form of a Kryptonian.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? That's exactly my point. When you have
and then
options,
never change back.
Why?
Sorry, brother, you're a bucket of water. But
yeah,
but
why choose to be a bucket of water?
It can spill so easily. You know, every once in a while he'd turn into like an ice chair or an ice sled, and she'd pull him, and Gleek would ride in the sled.
Again, lame.
I love those characters, though.
We should do a whole episode just on those two characters.
And I honestly, I like Wendy and Marvin too. I really did. You know, I thought it was the coolest idea that they were training to be superheroes. They had no powers.
I liked Wendy for some reason, but not Marvin so much.
Well, Marvin was just Shaggy.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So of the, I've already stated my opinion. Of all of the Justice League people, other than the top three, which character do you think has the best chance of having a standalone movie and maybe their own franchise? In my opinion, I think Martian Manhunter,
Cyborg.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, has the most potential to do that is Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I mean, Green Lantern. Honestly, if Green Lantern had not flopped, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now because they would already be making Justice League. Because they would. That was part of their. Hey, let's build this universe, and so we're gonna start with Green Lantern and build Green Lantern's universe, and it's gonna be a great big hit. And I don't think we can really call it a flop in money terms, but it did not do well as a movie itself. And I think that Green Lantern is the best, what was the best chance for them to spin off another character who's not Superman or Batman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is the other one. If you could just do it right. And apparently, at least according to the Bean Counters, they haven't found someone who can do it right. And now they're saying, why didn't we let Joss Whedon do this when we had the chance?
Exactly. Nice. Well, that leads us to our other question is, if Nolan is not the person to lead Superman and Batman, who else would you trust with this DC universe to do Justice League, to take Superman, Batman, and maybe even do Green Lantern and do Flash? Who would be on the short list of people who can do that?
I think they've already done this a little bit. Jeff Johns, who's writing the Justice League comic, he's written Green Lantern and made Green Lantern popular enough to get a movie.
But has he done a movie scripts?
Yeah. He worked in Hollywood. He had his start in Hollywood. He was actually Richard Donner's assistant for a while.
But has he?
That's not going to happen. Produced?
Has he been produced? Let's find out. Internet movie database. We're going to look up Jeff Johns.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Johns.
I would feel comfortable with him being a consultant.
Well, that's what I'm saying is you build your team, you build your consultant, and you bring that in and use them to help build your universe and do this, which is the same kind of thing that Marvel did. Internet Movie Database says he wrote the screenplay and story for The Flash, which is due in 2014.
Interesting.
So you're completely off the mark then. It's kind of cool that he is doing a Flash movie. But I was thinking more of the team leader, not just writers, but is there somebody, because Christopher Nolan, other than Christopher Nolan, who would you trust to helm this whole universe? Because Avengers has Whedon, Abrams is with Star Wars and Star Trek, so who would you trust
the
DC other?
That's what I'm saying, though. You know, with Abrams, he's directing Star Wars, but it's Kathleen Kennedy who's in charge, and it's a Star Wars team who, you know, they already have George Lucas put together this trilogy that they're following, and J.J. Abrams is coming in and helming the movie, and he's going to shepherd that movie to be awesome. But it's the same kind of thing with Marvel, where Joss Whedon, he's coming in and working with, I can't remember what they call it, but it's like the committee or something like that. But he's come in and he is a part of that, but they're already shepherding it and trying to figure out what storylines will work and how will Guardians of the Galaxy fit into doing this Thanos, you know, who was at the end of the Avengers, and who I'm assuming will be the villain in Avengers 2.
From what Whedon says, they don't have a lot to do with Avengers. That it's in the same universe, but it's more of a standalone. It's not really kind of the same thing. So he according to what Whedon said, there's not going to be this huge crossover between Guardians and Avengers.
No, but you've got a committee, you've got a group who are working at the head of Marvel, Marvel movies. And they're fitting this all together and planning it and plotting it all out with Avengers 2. What happens between Avengers 2 and Avengers 3? What movies are coming out? How does Ant-Man fit into this? It'll be in the universe, but he's not going to be in Avengers. You know, that kind of thing.
Could I suggest someone who has already done a superhero movie, has done movies with aliens, has done movies with beings who are like merman type people?
Ooh.
Can I suggest someone who just might have a good handle on all this stuff and pull it together? Even like psychic stuff. He's done all these movies.
Uh-huh.
I think we're looking at M. Night Shyamalan.
No, we're not. I honestly thought you were going to go to Brad Bird.
Yeah, that's exactly. I thought he was going Brad Bird too.
Because
I trust Brad Bird.
And Joe Johnson.
Well, I think Brad Bird could do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, Brad Bird definitely could do it. Of the short list, Whedon would be on my list. Abrams would be on my list. Nolan's on my list. Spielberg's on my list, although he would never do it. And then I would probably, Brad Bird would be probably on that list as well. There's not many people I would trust to completely oversee the whole DC franchise like Abrams and the others are doing.
I just think you need someone who understands the characters, because, I mean, that's the thing with Man of Steel, is I'm worried about that mainly because Zack Snyder. I don't know anything about Zack Snyder other than I did not like Sucker Punch. I did not like 300. I haven't watched Watchmen. I have it on my shelf. I can see it. And I haven't watched it yet because I just can't bring myself to enter that story.
It's just dark. It's difficult.
But that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried.
A postmodern mess. And they changed the ending, so it doesn't make the same sort of sense that the comic book did. Although even the comic book
the ending of the comic book is not exactly your paragon of realism. But everything I've seen him do is dark, dark, dark. And I want someone who understands the characters. Geoff Johns is able to kind of get to the core of the characters. And Christopher Nolan, I feel like, got to the core of the Batman character.
But there's a big difference between Johns. He's a writer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So,
a writer and producer.
Right. So usually when you get someone who is the leader of something, they have to be a director to be able to take a script and make it actually real. So I totally agree that whoever helms it has to have a strong like Peter Jackson did when he brought in the team of artists and the people who were creating Middle Earth stuff for years. He brought in the two most famous Lord of the Ring artists. Mm-hmm. Those types of things, I think, help. But when we're talking about the person who's helming, they have to be a director. Otherwise, they don't really know how to tell the story in the right medium.
Well, I think you need a director who understands story. You need a writer who understands character. And you need an art team that is able to give you something better than Green Lantern. And nice. You need...
Okay, first of all, Green Lantern's issue was all of them. I mean, the script was bad.
Yeah. Well, let's not...
I watched it, and I'll be honest. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be because I heard that it was awful, but it could have been so much better.
That's it, exactly. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't as good as it should have been.
You know, Parallax was really, the way that they did Parallax, I thought was interesting. Scary, just like all-consuming, that type of entity where it's like, how is he possibly going to do this? And then the way he actually did it was so stupid.
Well, that's just it. And Parallax should have had his own movie. Sinestro should have been, I think, a part of this movie as a bad guy. But, you know, give him his own movie, too, as far as, like, being part of Green Lantern's trilogy or whatever. But, I mean, I don't want to... it's beating a dead horse.
Yeah, a very, very dead and ugly horse.
And mean-spirited. And it just wants... I just want to punch that horse in the face. But it's dead, so why?
It's like, why, horse? Why?
All right, so let's see. What's your next question? Or did we finish this question?
Yeah.
Okay, the next question was, how would this Justice League be different or similar to Whedon's Avengers?
I think we've covered that a little bit. I mean, pretty much the biggest difference is that Justice League movies, especially under Nolan, they tend to be grittier, darker, a little bit more down to earth and realistic.
What would you think about this? Okay, because we're talking about grittier and darker and more realistic. What if the Justice League movie was all about Batman assembling a team to take down Superman?
I would buy that.
And so you've got Cyborg, you've got Green Arrow, you've got you know, these kind of more realistic heroes that they're basically being assembled to take down the alien menace.
And it has Aquaman as the in his fishbowl. But the only issue with that is that if Wonder Woman's on the team, Aquaman's on the team, and Flash is on the team, he'd have to build another team to take them down.
Yeah.
Because Wonder Woman is, you know, godlike, and Green Lantern the same thing. He'd have to assemble a whole nother team to take down his first team.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be too much for a first movie. It would be something if it was like they get together to find out what is going on with this anomaly that they detect, and it turns out to be Superman. But I don't know.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Starting with Superman and then, you know, having them actively go again, being, you know, trying to take him down, I think that would be too much for a first movie.
I actually think it would be a good idea for the third and final Justice League is that somehow Lex Luthor has been able to control Superman and Justice League is battling to protect the Earth without destroying its friend if they come to the reality that they're going to have to destroy their friend to protect the Earth. To me, that would be an interesting final third Justice League movie.
That'd be a cool story. Zombie Superman, where he's not in control of his own actions. He's just inside his body, watching himself do these terrible things.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting.
And they have to take him down. That could be cool. Okay, so one last thing then. This all hinges on Man of Steel. If Man of Steel does not do well, the Justice League will not happen.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think Man of Steel, from the buzz I'm hearing, is very strong. And the truth is that Superman movies make money. Even if you didn't like Superman Returns, it still made money.
As long as they make it and kids can go see it, you know, dads are going to be taking their sons to it, and moms are going to be letting their sons go to it. You know, if it's going to be something that the family can go to, it's going to make money.
I've seen some covers for the children books. The I Can Read Superman Saves Smallville. You know, I mean, they're definitely going to be marketing this to everyone.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I don't think that's I think it will definitely make money. If this is even a 7 out of 10, it will be a blockbuster.
Yeah. Well, I've got high hopes for it. I'm worried because of Zack Snyder. But other than that, although David Goyer was on the screenplay, so
But Nolan was the producer, so he probably kept him on task.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Christopher Nolan was story. As far as the writing credits went, I think it was Christopher Nolan is credited for story. And then David S. Goyer is screenplay on that, I think. So, well, any other things you want to add, or are we ready for listener feedback?
I think we're good.
All right. Well, we've got a couple. What?
I hope Nolan's doing it.
We know.
Really? I didn't know. No, I'm a fan of Nolan. I don't like the idea of tying it into Dark Knight. That's the thing. Because it stands so well alone. Okay, so we do have some feedback about this news. Killing frequencies open. So, Shazbot, let's go with our first feedback from, was it Ryan Dunlap?
Ryan Dunlap said, I think the money is going to be too tough to turn down for Bale to reprise the role in the only blockbuster franchise working for DC right now. Still not sure how Man of Steel will pan out, but I think bringing in Bale will give a JLA movie the cred they are hoping for.
Yeah, so do you think that Christopher Bale can be bought.
Christian Bale or Christopher Bale?
I'm sorry, Christian Bale.
I'd like to see Christopher Bale try it.
Christopher Bale is...
I think Christopher Nolan,
that's why I said that. Okay.
I think Christian Bale, it's going to have to be a good story, and he's going to have to be able to creatively justify it. I don't think money alone... If it's a bad script with a and not good story, he won't do it.
I do think I heard right after Dark Knight Rises that he said if Christopher Nolan had a story that Christopher Nolan was excited about, that Christian Bale would be excited to.
Yeah.
But I mean, that I don't know how much of that is just Hollywood speak for I'm loyal. I love my Christopher Nolan. He made me a lot of money, so I'm not going to say anything mean about him right now.
Well, no, it's because, like, you know, certain actors and directors like to work together, and it behooves both of them to basically capitalize on those types of relationships. So I have no doubt that if it's a good story, in fact, Nolan might pull in some of his other connections, like, for instance, Leonardo DiCaprio, who, from my understanding, they were wanting to get Leonardo DiCaprio to be Riddler. That was the...
I did hear that too, yeah.
That was Warner Brothers' choice for the next villain when when Nolan decided to go with Bane. So I think Nolan has definite cachet with actors. So if Nolan gets on board, I think there's no limit to the amount of actors he can pack into these roles.
All right, so our next feedback is it kind of brings up the problem of having Superman in the Dark Knight universe.
Mickey Kidd says unless Superman was busy on a mission in outer space, I don't see what was stopping him from dealing with the nuke that was in Gotham for all those months.
And I didn't think about this until I read this from Mickey Kidd, but yeah. There was how many months did they have a nuclear bomb just driving around Gotham City? And even if Clark Kent wasn't Superman yet, why wasn't he over there trying to help them get that nuclear bomb? He's the only person who could really do something about that.
That's the easy. He was helping, but it was packed in lead so he couldn't see it. And then Lex Luthor was threatening to blow up three other cities in other parts of the country, so he had to go somewhere else.
I don't know.
You couldn't pack a nuclear bomb in lead and drive it around the city and not, you know, raise some eyebrows.
I mean, all you have to do is fly around and look for the thing you can't see through.
Yeah.
That's where the bomb is.
No, Bane's smart enough. He packed everything in lead.
He just had a crop duster fly over with a lead dusting.
Yeah, Bane was so smart that he lasted the entire movie until he was taken out in 1 second by Catwoman in a machine gun on a motorcycle. No.
See, what you don't know is Bane and Lex Luthor had a deal, and so they were both causing havoc in their cities at the same time, so the other superhero couldn't find out about the other superhero.
Right, and they just selectively chose not to show us what else was going around in the rest of the world. We just didn't see that on the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
just didn't pop up.
No, I think we've done a good job of retro fixing that problem, right?
Well, we could make that same argument for Avengers movies too. Like, where was that superhero?
Well, that's in Iron Man 3. I heard Kevin Feige, who is kind of the head of the committee behind the Marvel movies, saying Iron Man 3 really does expressly define why he's not calling on these other superheroes.
Yeah.
You have to now.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
Except for Thor. Thor can say, well, they're all on Earth, and so I can't get their help. But Captain America, anything he does, why is he not calling on an army of Iron Men to help him?
Yeah.
He's got the wristwatch, right? All right.
Michael Poteet, a writer for the Civic Christian podcast. Those guys never got back to me about my race army, by the way. Said I would be way surprised if Bale comes back for a JL movie, given how much he made of the Nolan vs. Batman having his own integrity, which is quite right.
All right. I think we've talked about that a little bit, too. From my other Captain Canuck friend, Dave Goulet.
David Goulet said Bale in a JLA movie doesn't work. His Batman eats screen and there simply wouldn't be room in an ensemble superhero movie to do justice, ahem, to all the characters. A Superman / Batman, Brave and the Bold movie, as we've discussed before, with Bale. That would work.
And I do like the idea of a world's finest.
Yeah.
Alright, oh.
And finally, Tom Hulce said I think this is just a rumor. The way the Dark Knight trilogy ended really leaves no room for Bale to come back. If anything, it makes more sense for Michael Keaton's Batman to return than this.
How would you do that, Dr. Jace? Considering the end of The Dark Knight Rises, would you...
It's simple. It's not that complicated, because basically Batman retires. Now, some people try to make it that he died, but I think people read into that. I think it's pretty obvious that he retires. Well, when you're that Batman, when you're that driven, when things start to go crazy, even if you've got Nightwing going around and things aren't going right, he's going to go back doing what he's always done, especially once he realizes that he can't fix all of Catwoman's issues, and she's got all sorts of issues. He can't get away. He's Batman. He cannot get away. He tried.
Oh, go ahead.
No, he tried. And so in something big enough, and that's why I think it would fit in Justice League, because up till then, maybe Nightwing could have handled it all. But then something big happens that only he has to get involved at that point. And I think that would be the entry point.
What you just said about Catwoman reminded me of Karate Kid 2, where you spend all of Karate Kid 1 rooting for Daniel-san to get together with Allie, the girl. And then at the beginning of Karate Kid 2, where they didn't bring back Elizabeth Shue, and he was going to fall in love with someone else. They don't even let her make an appearance. It's just she crashed his car and dumped him for someone else at the prom. I can't handle that. Okay, well, I'll just find someone else in this new movie who will be my new love interest. But
yeah.
That does bring up one thing, though. Christian Bale, at the end...
crashed my car and dumped me at the prom.
With Christian Bale, I don't know if I like the idea of his Batman being in Justice League anyway. His Batman character is not the greatest Batman. It's a great character, but he's not a great hero. And he's out of shape. He retired from being Batman after being out of shape and after being just kind of a wrecked person anyway. I don't want to tie it in there.
No, but with just give him a couple more months, he'd be in great shape. And at this point, he now has Nightwing to be his protege. So that could be part of it, where he is the leader of this group. And so he's not fighting as much. He can still handle himself. But he also has Nightwing also as well. So it's more of a team. I think it's a perfect transition. Why did Batman pick up a sidekick? Well, he was getting older and he still's got his smarts and he can still do a great job, but now you also have to deal with his protege.
I agree in theory, but I don't know.
Trust Nolan to bring it together.
Well, that's just it. I can trust Nolan. In Nolan we trust. Speaking of money, do you know how much money they've already spent on Justice League?
A lot.
Because how many times have they started and stopped? There's the time where it was the director of Road Warrior who was going to do it, but then the writer's strike, I think, put the stop on that.
And then when I auditioned for Batman, Superman, and Green Lantern, that was, 2007 or 2006? When was that?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
it was before I was married, so it was probably around 2005, maybe even.
Okay, so that would be before the Road Warrior guy, from what I understand. So that's two starts right there, plus the scripts that they've thrown away just recently. I mean, they've dumped a lot of money into this already. They have to make this movie because they spent so much money about it on already.
If they don't, it'll be like the biggest flop that was never made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to do it, but they have to do it right.
Any more about Justice League before we move on to the last piece of feedback? Because it's actually about our last episode.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
About your last episode, about alien life and theology, Travis Desimoriel says, quote, shameless plug, I've started writing a Christian sci-fi novel on this very topic. I've got the broad strokes in my head and an outline started. Basically, the gist of the story is humanity in the future when Christianity is an extreme minority. Contact is made with an alien race that has what is essentially the Old Testament and has that kind of relationship with God. Look for Universe Declares on Amazon in 4 years or so. And shameless plug. Listening to you guys and the Sifa Christians episode a few days ago has given me the idea to expand upon their old covenant relationship and have them have a better understanding of grace and other more new covenant topics.
And I think what he's touching on right there is exactly why aliens in fiction work, because you have a metaphor to explore things that you can't necessarily with regular people.
And that's the truth with sci-fi and fantasy in general, is that you can more easily talk about spiritual dynamics in a more upfront way than you can, say, in a drama that's just plain reality. Because, you know, even though in our lives we know that there's a world going on that we can't see, it's hard to show that in just a drama. But when you add the sci-fi fantasy element to it, you can show the deeper levels of things that are happening that we don't even see.
And we did on our website have a few other people share some things. Michael Petit had some good comments about why he agrees with me from our last episode. Don Ensign had some interesting points that we touched on at the end of our episode, basically
Ensign.
About what?
Ensign.
Ensign?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he still had some good comments.
I had trouble with Tom Holste. I just want to make sure that we got Don's last name right.
Okay. And Sign said, basically, he was talking about what we talked about at the end of the episode about aliens and alien experiences by people who are real people in the real world being spiritual warfare type things. And then RC said, don't worry about wheel horse. Donkeys, horses, and oxen have been used in the past to drive grindstones just as you have suggested. So I don't have to feel bad anymore about that.
You're vindicated.
I am. Unless you have anything to add, then I think we need to wrap this up. Except for one thing. We forgot to talk about audible.com. We need to put in our shameless plug. This episode of Strangers and Aliens podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook of your choice by going to audibletrial.com/strangers, where you can sign up for a free trial that you can cancel at any time. And if you sign up for the free trial, you get a free audiobook that's yours to keep. And they have thousands of titles to choose from that you can play on any kind of mobile device that you can think of, except for ones that haven't been invented yet. And possibly even those two. And if you go and do that, you are supporting Strangers and Aliens. Believe it or not, it's free to you, but we actually get some financial support there. And we do appreciate that. So,
yeah.
With that said, any final words?
I do. Okay. I want to let you all know, 26 years ago this week, Lethal Weapon came out. So if you remember that movie, you're officially old.
Wow, 26, and so it came out right around your birthday then, right?
I was 9.
Something like that.
No, I was 11. I didn't see it.
I saw it, but I saw it, I actually sat and watched all three, like the first three of them, as just back to back to back at one of my friend's houses. And since I had never seen them before, all three of them now just blend to me. I can't pick out differences between them.
I can only remember the last one. Was it number 4, I think? With Joe Pesci? No,
wasn't
not Joe Pesci.
No, Chris. It was Pesci, and then they added Chris Rock.
Okay, I did not see the one with Chris Rock. I saw the one with Joe Pesci where they were fighting in a house that was being pulled. It was like one of those modular homes.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Wasn't that Throw Mama from the Train?
No, but that's a great movie too. Oh my goodness. I left it at school, the school where I taught when I left. I left a drawer of DVDs, and that was one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, it had some great Shakespeare stuff, and it had that movie. That movie is for writers. If you are a writer, watch Throw Mama from the Train. And
almost as good as Shakespeare. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Bye.
Godspeed. You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Steve MacDonald, and Dr. Jace O'Neill. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. Please join in the conversation by visiting our website, strangersandaliens.com, where you will find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also email us directly at podcast@strangersandaliens.com, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/strangers. Or you can leave us a voicemail on the Strangers and Aliens hotline. Just call 1-804-37-ALIEN and leave your message. And once again, thanks for listening. I just want to punch that horse in the face.